99.3 Nigeria Incro. Lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome back to Dailies today, the second part. It's 7:31 from our studios. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
That's right. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Search for that on those two platforms and you would be able to watch us live. We're going to start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 10. That's right. Ondo crisis moves to oust Akeredolu, ignore Tinubu's intervention uncovered.
Yeah, and good morning, everybody. I believe that you know, that is what it should be. The president's interference, it's okay, it's a political thing. But I expected his interference to be guided towards enforcing what the law says, what the constitution says, rather than try some kind of arraignment. And I also expected that as a big brother, you know, and as, you know, a mentor, okay, he's mentor to the governor. He should have called him privately before that meeting to tell that. Look. But what I'm being told by some analysts is that the president, it is possible that he also has his own candidate for the election in Ondo that will take place next year. The thinking is this: if he allows the law to prevail and the acting governor is sworn in, then it is very, very likely that that acting governor will win the primaries this time next year and become governor for 8 years. If the president has already promised that slot to somebody, then that will not happen. So the president might have stepped in probably to protect his own interests, his own political interests. In between all this is a gentleman of the party, a senior advocate of Nigeria, a governor, former president of the Students' Union of the University of Ife, who's given most of his life, you know, to the country, as it were, lying down there, being psychologically hit left, right, and center. If he had he resigned, then he would be able to focus. You know, when you are ill, your state of mind is also extremely important. And I just jolly well imagine the state of health of Akeredolu. Nigerians, some of us, our political leaders especially, are very, very cruel, extremely cruel. Everybody around this whole scenario is fighting for his own personal interest, not thinking of the life of a gentleman there who is almost lying prostrate. And I consider it very unfortunate. The story here says that no one can flout the president's orders, APC chairman. The president cannot give orders on a constitutional matter. He can advise. And it looks as if some of the, you know, top guns in Ondo, it is being heard that some of them say that the president cannot dictate to us what should happen. The Ondo speaker said that, let me start with the APC chairman who says that, commenting on the plot, the APC chairman declared that no politician in the state would dare move against the resolution reached with President Tinubu on the impasse. He said there's nothing of sort. No one dares go against the resolution reached. Can anyone go against what President Tinubu has pronounced? This is why we haven't progressed. The constitution that we run and the protocols that we adhere to is winner takes all. We just have the president is the president and he can jolly well do what he likes. That is also reflected in his appointment that is announced in the papers today of another personal friend of his as chairman of NNPC. So our financial structure is surrounded and almost hijacked by his personal friends. Cardoso, Edun, this, that, Akinyelure, that is the final zip that closes the bag. Yes, Akinyelure is highly and eminently qualified to be. You can't fault him on that. But the president should realize that you are leading a nation of 200 million people. And when you do these things, these sensitivities are important. People are not saying anything now. Precedence is being laid. When it happens tomorrow, in another sense, everybody should just learn to keep quiet and let us agree that a president can do what... The president is a bit stubborn, okay? And he believes so much in himself. He does what he likes, like in the case of the the subsidy, whatever, and see where we are now. But that is not a good way to lead people. I keep insisting. It's not a good way. You have to carry people along. You have to go. But back again to this story. Well, it looks as if the assembly might even meet this morning.
Mm.
The other papers are all carrying the Punt carries an editorial. Akeri Delu should step aside or be removed. Okay, and they run a history of Yaradua's period.
Mm.
And they say this kind of charade is extremely nauseating. The Punt says that this goalie spectacle should be terminated. Illness can afflict anyone. Everybody sympathizes with Akeri Delu and wishes him full recovery. But it is time to step down for the exacting functions of governor for everyone's sake. As NBA leader, students' union, and civil society activist, he had always insisted on government best practices. Okay? The NBA startly called on Yaradua, that was when he was president of the whatever, to step down.
Mm.
So they put up that argument. And funny enough, the Daily Trust also puts up an editorial, Sheriff.
Mm.
And they say that President Tinubu's meeting with stakeholders did not actually change the situation.
Mm.
They say the headline of the editorial is that the Constitution should prevail.
Mm.
We need to learn that. We need to leave that. That is what democracy is all about. Once you take that out, you're moving towards a dictatorship. No one can challenge. The president's intervention itself was not constitutional. It's a private matter. So it's not, he can't say that whatever he says must be final. It's the constitution that should be final. But we don't seem to have that culture.
Mm.
Our politicians are lily-livered. Nigerians are lily-livered. We can't stand up for our rights. And that's why we're where we are now. Okay, so the Daily Trust argues that it's the constitution that should be respected. It says here, Bola Ahmed Tinubu's meeting with stakeholders from Ondo State did not actually change the situation. You know, reading out the details of the resolutions after the meeting, Speaker of the State House of Assembly said there will be no more dissolution of the cabinet and the deputy governor would maintain the status quo as far as the House of Assembly leadership is concerned. What is the status quo? Akete is the governor.
Mm-hmm.
There are some documents that the deputy governor cannot sign,
mm-hmm,
because he's not the governor.
There are contracts that he cannot sign.
There are contracts that... No, that one... there's a way around that, I can assure you. That's why if it was that there was a logjam and no contract would come, mm-hmm, out, there would have been a resolution.
Mm.
The people around the governor are bleeding the states. That is my strong belief. Some of the people around him are bleeding the states for their own benefits. And that might include members of his family.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that conflicting reports that, something like to the effect that his wife showed up at the meeting and I wonder in what capacity she could have done that. And she wasn't allowed in. But I was later corrected by my source that the wife was actually in Turkey. And I'm wondering how she had the presence of mind to go to Turkey when the husband is facing such a crisis. But that's a personal matter because his hospital is in Germany. But that's a personal matter that is neither here nor there.
Mm.
Lastly, Sheriff, if you will permit me, I like this last paragraph of the Trust. It says, while we berate Akeri Dulu's colleagues in the Ninth Governors Forum for not speaking out, we also condemn the Ondo State House of Assembly as well as the State Executive Council for allowing the state to suffer from the lacuna created by their collective inaction. Whereas no one is an institution or individual would reach Governor Akeri Dulu out of office before the end of his tenure, his ill health should not continue to hold the state to ransom and hold the man himself to ransom. I'm adding that now.
Mm.
You know. The task to resuscitate Ondo squarely rests on the State House of Assembly. In the attempt to quickly resolve this matter, the leadership of the State House of Assembly is advised to ensure that the country's constitution remains supreme.
Hmm.
So, all said and done, it's up to the Ondo people now. But, Sheriff,
hmm?
I like the way you say it. But do you wonder that the people are kind of silent on this issue? Is it that they couldn't be bothered what's going on, or they're being silent. You know, there's some quiet. It's just being done at that level. Mm. This is the same Ondo State when, during the UPN, MPN time, and they wanted to impose an MPN government on them. There was this gentleman called Omobori Owu. Mm. And it was said at that time that he won the election. Omo. First of all, you know, you can trust my Yoruba people. They changed his name from Omobori Owu to Owobori Omo. And within, I think he was rescinded in less than a week.
Hmm.
Yes. Yes. When I will love the days of the UPN then. It was very quickly. But I'm surprised. The docility, I don't like any form of violence, but I like people to resist, especially things like this that affect them. And it's a pity that humane culture, putting the life of people first, hasn't been exhibited in all this, including at the top. I thought that when they said the president was going to intervene, he would have put a call through to Akiti Losinmi. Bro, Oti, try. You've been governor for 6-7 years. I mean, Oti, try. Go ahead and look after yourself. We want to see you alive and well. Rather, political considerations took the front burner.
It's unfortunate, really. Let's move on to our next paper. Let's take this one here, page 8 of the Vanguard newspaper. Reps begin full probe of COVID-19 intervention funds. Then we'll take the second one that says drainages. Lagos State government issues 7-day ultimatum on structures at Lekki.
How did you get to read this one first? Okay. All right. So, of course, there's no big deal to Lagos State government issuing a 7-day ultimatum on structures of Lekki. That's not the reason why this story was picked. This story was picked to express my support for what the Lagos State is doing and to call on people who have put an ethnic whatever into it.
Mm.
Do not burn this. Do not put this state on fire just because some people want to be completely irresponsible. I don't understand the logic that will tell me that, it's only the house of Igbo people that are being demolished. Where does that come from? A whole line of houses are being demolished for simple reasons that you can see. The videos are there.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst you are thinking, this house is millions and millions, what about the other people that suffer? Because don't forget, and I think Wahab was the commissioner was explaining that he is for environment and not for. It's not about housing; it's about the canals. You know which way the waters, waste, and whatever should go. And we have been extremely irresponsible in all this. So if you've gone to bribe a few officials in Alausa, and you've erected your structure or whatever it is, you will have to pay the consequence. And let's stop this ethnic nonsense. There was a gentleman that called in last week to Kofi Batels on some other issue. He immediately threw the ethnic thing into it.
Mm.
It is very, very unfortunate. We know the things that are frustrating us in our country, and we know the people who are doing it. Part of the problem we have is, apart from the politicians, a lot of us as a people, especially the elite, have been completely irresponsible. There was a case of a man who had an estate. He sold the houses in the estate, about 100 houses. Nobody knew that he had used the land as collateral to get a bank loan. I think I told this story sometime last week. To get a bank loan. And so when the bank showed up and wanted to, you know, all those who had the property, I don't know how they resolved it. But they found themselves with new sellers of the land, as it were. So I'd like us to stop this narrative and stop playing these pranks. The truth of the matter, to the best of my knowledge, is that we've been living a very irresponsible life. And that the government itself is partly complicit. That is why we keep telling the government to act quickly. To act quickly before it becomes... Where was the government when all these houses were being built on the canal? Some of them have been there for 10 years. And the consequences is that had it been that there were no consequences for other people, it wouldn't hurt. But sometimes it's a whole community, maybe the community next to them, and they won't get that sense. they will always be flooded. What do you think happened? All these, Isheri, some of these areas. In those cases, the money that was supposed to be used to control those, you know, the erosion and whatever, has found itself in another direction. But that's another thing entirely. I just wanted to use this opportunity, you know, and to urge the government not to submit to blackmail. Don't submit to blackmail. We can see it. It is quite evident. I don't think any government would take delight in building down, demolishing houses, well-structured houses. But look at the thinking of our elite, for example. You're going to build a 100 million naira mansion. Isn't it better for you to build a 50 million naira mansion in a small space that you are comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying, mm-hmm. Sheriff? Mm-hmm. Or those who build, you build like 10 rows. You build like 10 rows of duplexes and whatever. In a place where you know that is the avenue, you know, that water should pass through. So I'll urge, I'm inviting Wahab, I think I'll call him again to come and explain these things in full. But I also now love to call his intention to Ijora, that spot by the National Theater.
Mm.
It is, apart from being a village now, it has now also become a refuse dump. And you might have to call in the army to dislodge the people in that place. And we've been talking about this for close to 4 years. For close to 4 years, I think it was, no, it wasn't during Ambode, it was during Sonwuluba in his first term that we kept saying, this place is growing. Tomorrow now, if you want to clear the place, because it's full of a lot of northerners, they're selling goods, rams, whatever, and I'm going to install AC under the bridge and so on and so forth. Let us do these things. And also, I call on the government to find those who gave those approvals responsible and prosecute them openly to serve as whoever signed those papers should be held responsible. The owners of the houses, if you feel nobody likes the word go to court,
mm-hmm.
but at least come to the media, let us see what you have to show why these houses should not. It's quite clear. I saw the videos of most of them. It's quite very clear. So,
And I also must add at this point that even without saying, there are others as well who are not even blocking drainages, but then the setback that the law said they should provide, back,
yes,
they
yes.
refuse to. You are guilty. Yes, you are guilty. Your offense may not be, maybe Honorable Wahab is yet to see your offense now, but you know that you've broken the law.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you erected that fence, you know you've broken the law.
I mean, I want you to sit back. I want you to sit back. Just take a minute and sit back. So they are demolishing 24 houses. Are all those 24 houses owned by a particular ethnic group? The same propaganda came out in the issue of markets.
To me, really, actually, it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
It's but highly irrelevant.
But it's gaining ground amongst those who don't know. I think, so to say, there seems to be more of those who don't know than those.
No, honestly.
Those who know.
To be honest,
because
yes.
if you look at the caliber of some people who are involved in this, it's quite
honest,
simple.
You now want to emotionally blackmail the government, blackmail
yes.
everybody, blackmail this.
Yes.
Well, meanwhile, okay, so let me give a very pure example.
Mm.
We're having this conversation, I think about 2 years ago or so, and it's about the airport or something like that, somewhere around, I think it's the FHA or something, around that Festac area as well. And someone called in and said that he was asked to come and buy a piece of land in that area, but he refused because he was aware that the land belonged to the government.
Yes, the loads.
Because according to him, he grew up there, so he was aware the escapades that they had to play when they were young. So he knew the history of the place. Meanwhile, a lot of his own brothers went there. They started buying land and everything on government property, and he was telling them, and they were telling him that. You know, Sabi, Namani go chop.
You're talking of that. What about those who, you know, in the past built houses under high tension cable?
Mm-hmm.
It was Buhari that said that made them learn a lesson. In fact, one of the hotel. How could you build a hotel under high tension cable? The man ahead, we heard, not confirmed that he killed himself. When, yes, when Buhari, I supported Buhari in this one, but it was based on what he did in his first coming as military.
Mm.
But this second one, I supported him, but I regretted it. Mm. Let me use the words of my friend Moody, he fold my hand.
Moody is listening.
Buhari fold my hand, he fold my hand. when he was Moody, he said, Okujimi, Okujimi. This boy, everybody, for my hand.
Let's go to the Punch's paper. Sorry, sir. Tinubu names Akinyelure, NMPC chair, reappoint Kyari CEO.
I think I've made a point about that. And those who love Nigeria and love the president should caution him. He needs to be cautioned. I didn't say one, though. Caution means to say, sir, let's handle this thing. The optics are not good now, combined with the fact that we have not seen any improvement in our lives in the past 6 months. In fact, it's getting worse. And the roadmap is not particularly clear. You can't put all your friends in all these sensitive places, especially when it comes to finance. Your friends are the CBN governor, your friends are your friend is your people, you know, your own of your ethnic stock, your personal friends. So you are the minister, your personal friend is the chairman. It doesn't look too good, though, and truth must be told. Because if you lay that precedence today and you support it, it doesn't matter. He is qualified. Tomorrow it will be used against you, and you will not find it funny. I rest my case.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the news page of the Punch newspaper here. We've got the Metro page here.
You know, I'm very hesitant about talking about this story because initially I didn't believe it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what happened in Nigeria, in the pond. Some passengers who boarded a plane from Murtala Mohammed in Ikeja have recounted their ordeals after the plane, which was meant to carry the passengers to Abuja. So you boarded the plane, it's a one-hour flight. And say we are now making our final descent. And you are ready, hoping that your driver or your wife or the babe, where you say make him meet you, they're waiting for you at the airport. You get onto the runway and it doesn't look quite familiar. Guess what? You found yourself in. You found yourself in that. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
I don't even want to imagine the confusion.
It is unbelievable. When the. I know when the pilot was making a final.
It's almost like impossible.
Something should have told him it just doesn't look right. Because I remember my friend who works way back in the airways one day said that they had to land by what they call by sight. They lost their way. I've been on Okada flight before that lost its way into Cameroon.
Ooh.
Yes, I was on that flight. The old Okada.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, and the pilot had to trace his way back by environment looking for whatever it is. To take us to Calabar.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
that time I was going to Calabar awesome. Regularly. The shortest distance between anywhere in Nigeria was through Calabar. So if I'm going to walk in Maiduguri, Calabar is the shortest route to get to.
Wow.
So this is highly, you see, these are the things. Take care of your of things, tidy up your country. Which foreign investor is going to want to enter a local flight? I run away from local flights. Unfortunately, travel by road itself is not anything good to write about. So this happened. It says that the incident which happened on Sunday threw many passengers into confusion. Because as they landed at the Asaba airport, the crew was still announcing to them, welcome to Abuja. Welcome to Nnamdi Azikiwe Airport. This is unbelievable. This is a commercial flight, though. It is unbelievable.
It's like something from the movies or something.
No, it's comparable to those who went on a pontoon boat. They wanted to go to London. I ended up in Kenya. You remember about 2 months ago? Wow. So in an interview with The Punch, Thelma said the pilot of the United Airlines flight apologized to passengers that he got the wrong flight plan. Oh my God.
How is that even possible?
This man, you better be careful when they enter plane, though, so they don't go and land you in Conakry or Equatorial Guinea or someplace like that where you could be, they might even take you to Ukraine. What? I've never heard of this. Thelma said we were surprised and shocked, especially when one of the crew members announced that we were in Abuja. Some of the passengers had walked towards the front to know what was happening. Some even wondered if the plane had been hijacked. We were there for about 15 minutes when the pilot said he got the wrong flight plan and he said we would fly to Abuja shortly. Thelma said when the flight took off in Lagos, she suspected that it might be going the wrong route because it was flying by coastline, which she noted was unusual. Yes, there's, if you are used to the skies, you know that. So that was very good. Said it wasn't making sense until we found out that we were in Asaba. A Kano politician who was also on the plane said it was obvious the pilot was given the wrong plan from Lagos. We haven't heard from the airline yet, but heads must roll. I hope Festus
can. The airline, they released a statement.
And they said what?
They released a statement almost immediately. They said it was a diversion.
And then it was a diversion for that whoever
for bad weather
for that whoever put that reaction together must be fired. If there is bad weather, if there are considerations for you to divert a flight, from the onset, you would have announced to everybody, we have to divert this flight. And now, does it make sense that you took off from Lagos, you had bad weather, you are heading this direction, and instead of you to do a return back to Lagos, you now headed for Asaba? Does that make sense? So, and then your pilot now, was the man, was he in the trance?
I
Sheriff, this thing is funny.
It's
okay?
Very strange.
It's funny, but it is extremely, it reflects a lot of rot in the aviation sector and incompetence. It's incompetence of the highest order. So if this pilot was flying a Turkish airline and given a flight plan, he'll find himself heading towards, where is the flight going on now? The Gaza Strip or something like that. It reflects high level incompetence.
We have to go now.
Have you finished?
Yes, we have to go.
In fact,
we are completely out of time.
Okay, no wonder Kofi is coming in.
Yes, that's why we must go. He's back at 9.
Yeah,
for Daily Digest. I'm Sheriff, he's Jimmy. Kofi is back. Good morning to you, Lagos.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.